Romans 3, page 1130. Let me add my welcome to Nathan's. It's great to have you here. We are spending five Sunday evenings considering together, as Nathan said earlier, what has been passed down to us as the five solas. And you might be aware that this month some are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And these five solas are the five big teachings that came out of the Reformation. The Reformation is when many started to stand up against the established church of the time because the church had lost their way from the true gospel. People started to study the Bible for themselves, and as they did, they started to see inconsistencies between what the Bible said and the church. And right at the heart of the Reformation was this big and very simple question: how can we be right before God? How can we get the thumbs up rather than the thumbs down from God? The picture I've used with the kids is, how can we get God's gold star placed on our lives like a piece of homework done perfectly rather than a giant red cross? Growing up, my homework, it won't surprise you, was always covered in red crosses. And here's the thing, like my homework, our lives are covered in red crosses. Wrong thoughts, wrong words, wrong actions. All of us do wrong all the time. So here lies the big problem. How then can we get that gold star? And as the reformers studied the Bible, they wanted to bring the people back to the simple truth made up of five phrases. We are made right before God. We get the thumbs up before God. We get the gold star before God according to Scripture alone, not the Pope or church councils, but Scripture alone. In Christ alone, He has done it all. By grace alone, He's willing to give it to us through faith alone, all for the glory alone. And this alone is how we get God's smile upon us, even though we deserve His frown. And as Nathan mentioned, this week we're going to be looking at the fourth one of these, which is through faith alone. If you've missed any of the talks, I would encourage you to go to the website and have a listen to them. So with that said, you should hopefully all be at Romans 3 by now. We're going to read verses 21 through to 31. Let me read. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Let's pray. Lord, Your word says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So, our Father, we praise You for the joy of following the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He died for our sins. Thank You for the honor of belonging to Him. Thank you for the freedom that comes from following him and the love that flourishes as a result of being loved by him. Please draw us to Jesus. Thrill us afresh with the free gift of Jesus Christ. Help us to take hold of that which he has given freely. And we ask that we would leave here rejoicing that we are known by him. All for your glory. Amen. So Luther called verses 21 to 26 the chief point and the very central place of the epistle. And in fact, of the whole Bible. And you can see why, because in these verses, we are pulled back to that simple, big question. How can we get into the position where God is 100% for us and never in the slightest against us? How does one come into the courtroom of heaven as a sinner, but yet be justified? How can someone whose whole life is covered in red crosses still receive that gold star? The answer, by faith alone. Last week we looked at grace alone, the idea that Jesus' righteousness, the gold star that is sitting on Jesus' life because he had lived a perfect life, was available to us. Not because of anything lovely we had done, but because God was amazingly loving. I believe Nathan used the phrase outrageous, glorious grace. It's like Jesus' righteousness, his gold star, is sitting on the table right in front of you. And he offers it to you freely. But how does it get from the table onto you? The answer Romans 3 gives, we get that outrageous, glorious grace through faith alone. However, the answer Luther was given from the church of his day and the answer the Catholic Church would give today is not faith alone, but through penance and indulgences. The Catholic Church had decided that righteousness, being right before God, getting the thumbs up, would be put onto you if you worked off all your bad acts, either through penance, i.e. the work of coming to a priest, confessing your sins, then doing acts of kindnesses or prayers, or through indulgences, i.e. paying money to the Catholic Church to absolve all or part of your or another person's sin. You could pay for your mum's sin to be dealt with. But then, even after those two things, you would spend an allotted time in purgatory being punished for all the sins you'd forgotten or were not aware of. And only then would you get into heaven. A traveling salesman of the indulgences would say, "Place your penny on the drum, the pearly gates open, and in strolls mum." In short, you worked off your sins, or you paid off your sins. But as Luther studied Romans, Jesus opened his eyes to see the church of his time was wrong. In 1519, Luther came to the understanding it's by faith alone. And tonight, I want to briefly look at three things that will help us to better understand the idea of faith alone. And the first one, if I can get this to work, it's not faith alone, alone. It's not faith alone, alone. Now that seems strange, doesn't it? And I'm hoping that the fact that you're sitting there scratching your heads, well, no one's actually doing that, will help when I explain it and you go, I see what he's trying to say. He could have put it better, but I see what he's trying to say. It's not faith alone, alone. You see, the word faith can also be translated as believing or trust. The idea of faith is the believing of something. So in chapter 4, Romans 4, verse 3, when it says Abraham believed God, it's saying Abraham had faith in God. The idea of faith is accepting or believing something. You see, we all have faith in something. You see, the word faith on its own is silly It's the word in that's important. Or put it slightly differently, we all believe something. So maybe it's faith in your own ideas or in some celebrity's ideas. But we all have faith. We all have a faith. So maybe you believe there is no God. And hence you believe you don't have to worry about being right with God. Or maybe you believe you are generally a good enough person. You're not perfect, but who is? You're only human. However, your goods will outweigh your bads and God will let you in. Maybe that's what you have faith in. Or maybe you think everyone will get in. I was once at a funeral. The vicar said everyone was getting to heaven. Why? Because Jesus had died for the sins of all and all will then get in automatically. I don't know what you believe, but I do know you believe something. Even if you only believe it a bit, you still have faith in something. In Romans, Paul addresses most of these issues. He starts in chapter 1:17, come with me to 1:17, with his manifesto. He makes his opening statement in 1:17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. So this idea that a God would smile on you and put his thumbs up. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. So then Paul moves on to challenge three arguments people might have. See if these sound familiar. So in chapter 1, 18 to 32, I'm calling this ignorance. The belief that says, I didn't know much about God. In fact, I didn't know anything about God, hence it's only fair for him to let me into heaven. But Paul says, believe in ignorance. Having a faith in ignorance isn't getting you in. Verse 20 of chapter 1, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Pleading ignorance won't work. Or maybe you want to use the morality argument. Paul deals with this in chapter 2, 1 to 16. In summary, someone might argue, I've kept the rules I really wanted to, and I tried really hard. I'm a very good person compared to others around me. I'm good enough by my own standards. But in 15 to 16, Paul rubbishes that. Believing you are moral enough by your own standards won't work. Or the third argument that might come up, which is in chapter 2, 17 to 29. I believe I'm super religious and that's enough. This person might say, I'm descended from Abraham. I'm circumcised. I have the law. That should be enough to get me in. But Paul responds in verses 25 to 29. Circumcision is nothing without the perfect heart. For us, maybe we might say something like, we go to church. Our family are Christians, so it'll mean we'll be okay. It'll mean that God will look at us, smile, and give us the thumbs up. But Paul says that doesn't work. Chapter 3, 9 to 19, the bit just before we read, covers pretty much all views, particularly verses 11 to 12. There is no one righteous, not even one. All have turned away. No one will be declared righteous. Any other faith, any old faith, won't work. Not all roads lead to God. It's not the faith, but it's the thing you have faith in that counts. Come back to me to chapter 3 and verses 21. Verse 21, a righteousness completely outside of ourselves is available. Verse 22, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 24, through the redemption that came by Jesus, Christ Jesus. Through faith, verse 25, sorry, through faith in his, that's Jesus's, blood. Verse 26, and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Verse 28, a man is justified by faith apart from the law. What's the context? By faith alone in Jesus Christ. It is faith in Jesus Christ alone that makes us right before God. It's not faith alone, having a faith, any faith, but faith in Jesus Christ. You'll all want to get home tonight, won't you? I assume you all want to get home tonight. But what you put your faith in is important to whether you actually get there. Do you put your faith in a flying carpet or into the car that you're driving or the bus that you might be getting on? Where you put your faith is really important. Faith needs to be put in the right place, not in yourself, not in celebrities, but in Christ alone. He is the only one who's lived a perfect, glorious life. Romans 3 wants us to be perfectly clear. It's not any old faith, but faith in Christ alone. And that's my first point. It's not faith alone, but faith in Christ alone. Where you put your faith, and we all have a faith, where you put your faith is essential. Romans 3 says, it's only faith in Christ alone that will get you that thumbs up. So my second point is not, it's faith alone, not works alone. So what is this faith? I wonder how you would define faith. If you were with a five-year-old and they said, what's faith? How would you respond to that? Faith is taking God at his word. It's believing God. Faith is receiving what God has placed in front of you. It's simply reaching out to that table that I mentioned right at the beginning and taking hold of it. Faith is believing Jesus has done it all. It's believing as you look at the cross, with Jesus hanging there, as Jesus screams in pain, it's believing it is finished. It's really believing Jesus' death is all I need for God to smile at me. I don't have to do anything else. I don't know if you've seen a toddler, but it's like putting white chocolate buttons in front of my son Daniel. I don't know if you've... He just gobbles it up. He just grabs hold of it as quickly. There's no thought involved with it. It's just automatically, his arms go out, he grabs hold of it, and he throws it almost in the direction of his mouth. I don't know how, he's like, that's what he does. But faith is accepting the thing that has been placed in front of you. It's accepting the gift Jesus has put in front of you and holding firm to it. You see, some people say faith is a work. But doesn't Romans 3 say that's rubbish? Verse 28 says this, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. In other translations it says, by faith apart from works of the law. It's like the East and the West. Works is over here, faith is over here. They never overlap. It's like a Venn diagram with two circles that never touch, if you know what the Venn diagram is. Faith is not a work. Faith is the natural reaction everybody has when they realize they have something amazing placed in front of them. Growing up, I'd never call grabbing Christmas presents and tearing the paper off a faith. If someone gave me a present, I would take it. I wouldn't say that's a work. Faith is taking hold of what Jesus has done. And this is the thing, because faith is so completely void of works, the statement you are justified by faith and works is rubbish. It's either faith alone or works alone. Imagine you're employed. A lot of you are. Some of you have been in the past. After a month of hard work, your employer turns round and says to you, hey, Tom, just so you know, I've left you a gift in your bank account for this last month's work. It's a gift. It's a gift for you. You turn around to them, if your name was Tom, and say, with all due respect, I earned that money. It's not a gift for me to take. It's money you owe me. As soon as you introduce a work, any work, it nullifies faith. It's no longer a free gift, taken freely, but it's earned. You can't have both. It's either one or the other. Faith is believing, work is doing. Faith is trusting, work is performing. Faith is saying Jesus has done it all, work is saying I did it. Even if it's the smallest act, with the largest reward. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about footballers. The smallest act of spending 90 minutes running around the pitch to get paid however much Rooney gets paid, $200,000 a week. Even if it's the smallest act, for the biggest reward, it's just a great valued work and is not faith. Grace is a free gift, and faith is accepting that, taking hold of that gift. As I thought about work in the Bible this week, I was brought back to Genesis 1 and 2. God worked for 6 days, and then what did he do on the seventh? He rested. Faith is resting on God's promises. It's resting on what God has done. It's resting on Jesus. It's not working, but it is resting on him. Is to stop working and trusting in yourself and trusting in Jesus. There is no other way. If Romans 3, 9 to 20 is to be believed, this bit about there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. We are all evil, wicked people, even down to our innermost. That in fact, all of our works are useless. If it was down to good works, even the smallest of good works, I don't actually have the ability to do it. All I have, 100%, is sinful works. That's all I have. All I have to offer is dung. I believe Nathan mentioned this last week, not the dung bit, but I think Nathan mentioned this bit last week. We sing a song by Augustus Toplady. That's an awesome name, isn't it? Toplady. We sing a song by Augustus Toplady, which says this, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace." What a glorious summary. Nothing in my hand I bring. In fact, nothing in my hand I am able to bring. I can't bring anything. If it's by works, we are all in trouble. But rejoice, because it's by faith alone. It has to be by faith alone, because I am incapable of doing even the smallest of good work. So far, what we've seen is it's not faith alone, but faith in Christ alone. And two, it's faith alone, not works alone. And it can't be the mix. It can't be either. It's either faith alone or works alone, but it's faith alone. And three, to make sure you're all awake, this is a thumbs up. My third point, and I'm really sorry if you're listening to this over the internet this week, but my third point is this. Always. That's my third point. To make sure you're still awake. Make sure you're all looking. Are you all looking? Make sure. Who's asleep? Shall I see who's asleep? No one. No one's asleep. That's great. This is my third point. It is this. Always. And this is the glorious truth that I want to land on. If you have faith in Jesus, if you have taken hold of this outrageous, glorious grace, if you have accepted it, you are righteous always. God looks at you and smiles always. God gives you the thumbs up. Not just today, not just when you became a Christian, but he gives you the thumbs up always. You are free from the weight and consequence of your wicked actions, future as well as past. And God will always smile upon you. His smile will never turn away. An eternity of hell, which is where you are heading because of all those red crosses, has been replaced with an eternity of this. Let me read Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true." These words are trustworthy and true. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, your future of hell, your future of the punishment that you deserve, has been replaced with a future of no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. These words are trustworthy and true. Do you believe that? Do you have faith in that? If you have faith in Jesus, this is yours. What an amazing image. All through faith alone, in Christ alone. This is fact and secure. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget this. I fall into this trap of thinking all about me, and I forget this fact, and maybe you do too. When I lose focus and I start to think about, just have my focus on me, I start thinking about a me righteousness rather than a Christ righteousness. So I start having to justify myself. I start to justify my actions. So I do something wrong. I start to blame others. I feel like it's other people's fault. I quickly point the finger. Sometimes I might even say it's God's fault for making life difficult, for being slow. That's the trap that I fall into when it's a me righteousness rather than a Christ righteousness. Haven't we seen that on a Tuesday night when we've looked at God's big picture with Adam and Eve blaming everyone? When I start thinking it's a me righteousness, I start blaming everyone else when I mess up. I start pointing the fingers all around rather than coming to Jesus saying, "I'm sorry. I thank you that you have taken the punishment for that wicked thing that I have done. Help me to be different." Or maybe you do this. Maybe this is your me righteousness. You mess up, we all do it, and as a result, you're worried God is going to strike you to punish you. God is going to do something against you which will teach you a massive lesson. I fall into this trap all the time. I really screw up. Maybe I get angry with Lydia and I do something stupid and get annoyed. And then I afterwards think about it and I think, oh, what a wally. What an idiot. God must be very angry with me. And then I start to think, what can I do to make this up? Can I do something good? Maybe you fall into the trap, or maybe I can give some more money. Maybe if I do this good, if I pray about this, then it'll be all right. Maybe if I do something else, God won't throw that giant, massive punishment my way. If I do X, Y, or Z, maybe I won't be punished. But the thing is, we've fallen into the me righteousness rather than Christ righteousness. Christ has paid it all. Our past failures and our future failures, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Or maybe you fear, because you are going through some hard time right now, that God's once lovely smile has turned away. Because of the darkness that you might be going through right now, you might be thinking, maybe I've really messed up somewhere. Maybe God is punishing me for my sin. Romans 3 says Jesus has paid it all. And if you accept his gift by faith, if you take hold of that truth, God is always smiling on you. God is always giving you the thumbs up. Despite how you feel, you are right before God, and he isn't angry with you. He is smiling on you. Even if you're going through the darkest of times, if you have taken that gift of grace by faith alone, he is smiling on you. Despite how you feel, you are right before God. It can be so easy to forget, and it leads us to problems, a me righteousness rather than a Christ righteousness. But no matter what you feel, God is looking down at you with this, and he will do always. So let me just finish with Romans 1:17. I know it's not in the passage that we read, but I want to read this. Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God, a gold star from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. We start by faith. We continue by faith. We end our lives and enter into heaven by faith. From first to last, it is by faith alone, in Christ alone. And because of this, if you have accepted Jesus' free gift, you are right in God's eyes always. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious?